Welcome to Jazz Fest 35, chronicles of the 35-year history of the Syracuse Jazz Fest. I'm Joe Lee, along with Jazz Fest founding director Frank Malfitano, and today we continue our discussion of the Jazz Fest tenure at OCC. For many, this stretch in Jazz Fest history is notable for the iconic vocalist who entertained thousands of Central New Yorkers, Dionne Warwick.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer.
Chaka Khan. Natalie Cole.
Me is so very, very extraordinary now. E is even more than anyone that you adore.
Nancy Wilson.
Cigarette holder, which wigs me over his shoulder. I know he digs me. I'll get
the stretch of female vocalists was incredible. It was like plucking people out of a music hall of fame. Talk about these incredible, legendary performers.
I love each one of them, and I think everybody else in the world does too. I mean, I grew up with Dionne Warwick. Chaka Khan was just Chaka Khan. I'm every woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she just took us to another place. It was also all the cats that played with Dizzy. It was Jimmy Heath, James Moody, Antonio Hart, Randy Brecker. I mean, this was a ridiculous band, John Lee on bass. I mean, that was really a sensational show. That was a big-time show. Dionne came out and did all of her hits. Chaka came out and did all of her hits. She's another hit factory. Roberta Flack, I mean, you mm-hmm. know, the stuff she did with Donny Hathaway is etched into our consciousness forever. I got to know those artists. I worked with those artists previously in other markets and got to see them a lot, got to meet them, and invited them up to play the festival. I think I remember one time going backstage at the Color Purple, they asked Chaka to come up and play, and it was that kind of thing. You mm-hmm. know, I asked Dionne to play in Las Vegas. We were on our honeymoon, and I said, hey, could you come and play Syracuse? You know, I got the knee pads out when necessary. These were great, great, great artists, great songstresses, great interpreters of the Great American Songbook and popular music. What a thrill to present them.
You find that audiences prefer vocalists as headliners? Are they a better draw?
I think yes. I think audiences do prefer them because it's relatable. You know, I think that's one of the reasons jazz caught on as a popular art form during the war years and the big band years, because they were playing standards. They were playing songs you could sing along to that had a melody. So obviously, when you bring in a singer, there's a relatable with the audience and there's an instant connection. And these are also artists that they've heard on the radio and seen on television over the years. So it's familiar.
In 2007, the incomparable Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, made her first of two appearances.
What you love, baby, I got it. What you need, you know I got it. All I'm asking is for the rest of the world, baby. When you get home, do it for me.
Was she difficult to book?
No. Not at all. I had been working with her for 6 or 7 years prior in Detroit at Music Hall Center for the Performing Arts, which ran the Detroit International Jazz Festival, and I was artistic director for both. And we had a relationship. One night, it just hit me. I said, you've got to come. Our 25th anniversary is coming up, and you've got to come. And I just went up to her on stage after the show, and I said, please. And she called me. I was back in Syracuse. I was going back and forth at the time. The phone rings and she says, Mr. Malfitano, it's Aretha Franklin. I said, yeah, right. I was sitting under a table looking for something on the floor and I got up and I bumped my head on the table and I said, oh, come on, who is this really? I don't have time for this. She said, no, this is Aretha Franklin. She said, I loved your flowers. I loved your card. I definitely enjoyed speaking with you and enjoyed the music hall performance. And I would like to talk about coming in to headline your 25th anniversary.
Outstanding. Like Ray Charles, her appearance produced an incredibly diverse audience. The audience demographics, from my perspective, was atypical of previous audiences. Did you find that to be true? Was that by design? Was that an unintended benefit?
I think groups in the city and in the community have kind of kept to themselves for the most part. They haven't felt like there was a place where they had something in common. And Jazz Fest has kind of been that place over the years. Certainly, was that intentional? Of course. You know, you want everybody in the community who makes up the fabric of the community to come together. You don't want people alienated from one another. We can't grow as a community. We can't help each other out as a community unless we know one another. So it's good to know your neighbor, and I think Jazz Fest helped facilitate that. But it's certainly Ray and Aretha. I mean, there's such huge, iconic superstars and crossover stars that it's not just going to be the jazz crowd. It's not just going to be black folks or white folks. It's going to be everybody because everybody's plugged into Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin. I mean, that music reaches everybody.
It was a beautiful scene.
It is a beautiful scene.
Just seeing folks coming together, having a good time.
A sea of folks. Yeah. You know, Joe, that's an interesting point. We've never had an incident of any kind at Jazz Fest in 34 years. Never had a fist fight, never had an argument, never had an accident, never had anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a mellow vibe. It's a place where you can bring your children, your families can attend. You know, you'll see your neighbors, you'll see new people, you'll meet new people. There's a whole social interactive quality to it that's really quite beautiful. And the music is the thing that really brings everybody together, no question about it.
Another megastar of the pop world hit the Jazz Fest stage in 2009. Kenny G was the headliner that year and again in 2012. Huge star, but often the butt of jokes of jazz purists. Did you catch any flack for booking Kenny G?
You know, I catch flack for booking everything. It kind of sort of rolls off at this point. I want to please people. I don't want to make people upset or angry. I saw Kenny G when he was Kenny Gorelick playing with the Jeff Lorber Fusion at Jabberwocky. This was one of the greatest instrumental saxophonists I've ever seen. On tenor, alto, soprano, he could take the energy level up in an instant. He was a performer. He was an entertainer. He became iconic. You know, I mean, a lot of people think what he does is elevator jazz. You need to see him live. I mean, he's exciting. He's electrifying. He started out in the crowd on a platform, worked his way to the stage. I mean, it was bedlam. It was fantastic. It was showbiz.
So it was a no-brainer for you?
No-brainer for me, yeah. No hesitation whatsoever. It was an honor to work with Kenny, and he put on a great show, and he was great to the crowd, And I mean, he brought people up on stage and gave away his sax. I mean, he's just great, fun to work with, great guy.
Did you have any hesitation with any act you ever booked?
No, not really.
No moment of pause for anyone?
No, there wouldn't be anybody that I put on my stage or our stage, the Jazz Fest stage, that I thought would be questionable, whatever. I mean... I didn't worry about whether an artist was political or what, you know. I mean, I had a little hesitation with some of the avant-garde groups because it's a little outside. It's not mainstream. It's a little difficult for a mass audience to grasp. And I think when you're programming for a mass audience, you're trying to program for all tastes, but you don't want to dilute the art form either. But I think that's what a festival offers you. You have a chance to present a lot of artists and a lot of styles.
What do you want festival goers to know about your programming, planning, and philosophy?
I just want them to enjoy themselves, and I want them to think that I did a good job. I think at the end of the day, I'd like to be remembered as somebody who brought great music, world-class entertainers and superstars and legends to town, free of charge so that everybody in the community could enjoy them. I mean, that's really it. I want them to have a good time.
The OCC run comes to a brief end in 2012. Rumors swirl that OCC has evicted Jazz Fest from campus. What's the story there?
It felt that way a little bit. I had such an amazing relationship with Debbie Saito, the president of the college, and she was leaving the college, and there was a construction of the SRC arena that was going on. So it was a major construction project. I think there were some folks at the college, okay? And I don't think we need to go into names, but this is part of the politics that you talked about, okay? Whether the bureaucracy is a municipality like the city or the county, or whether it's academia, bureaucracy is bureaucracy, and you're going to run into campus politics. There's no question about it. Some people felt that the Jazz Fest, I think, wasn't needed anymore because the arena was going to replace it. But they're two entirely different things. One is a venue and a sporting facility. The other is an event and a marquee event and a signature event. We did not leave the college on bad terms, but we did get short notice on that. So it was an abrupt move. And fortunately, the county was doing some major development within the park system. Jamesville Beach State Park was open and available, and the county executive, Joni Mahoney, helped us move there. And we spent 2 years there, and it was great. It's a beautiful site.
So that site obviously worked for Jazz Fest.
You know, Joe, when we were at the college, we were in three different sites. We were on the grass in the mud 1 year or 2 years, 3 years. When we went to Jamesville, it was a completely different site, but it worked out really well. It was a beautiful site.
Yeah, we had some rain on one of those years. I remember, again, the straw in the mud and my new shoes. I had new shoes again that year.
I think the county had to pump tens of thousands of dollars of gravel in just to make the site usable 1 year because of the rain. But that's the kind of support we've gotten from the county over the years. You know, it's been great.
You moved back to OCC in 2014, and the homecoming features the great B.B. King. And BB's performance was fantastic. I really enjoyed myself.
You know, some people criticize his performance, and I say, my God, where were you? Because spiritually, that was one of the greatest moments in Jazz Fest history. For that man to come out very close to the time of his passing.
Yeah. I mean, he had to sit on his stool, age and everything. You get that. People should understand that.
Yeah. You know, if you were expecting a 29-year-old B.B. King, you didn't get it.
Yeah.
If you were expecting an 89-year-old B.B. King and you were thrilled just to have him walk across that stage,
yeah.
And everybody was, the thrill wasn't gone.
Again, it's another one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities for a lot of people.
For me, too. I'm a fan just like everybody else. And man, when, you know, Kathy and I were in his tour bus with his family and his kids. We came up on stage. He sat down after he played. We watched the fireworks together. He held my hand. That's B.B. King, man.
Yeah.
That's B.B. King.
The show also featured Igor Bootman and the Moscow State Jazz Orchestra. Do you have any concerns? Any? That a report will come out that you have ties to Russia.
I think that's probably inevitable in the current era, and I will not deny that I have connections with Russia.
This is Jazz Fest 35, Chronicles of the 35-Year History of the Syracuse Jazz Fest. I'm Joe Lee with Jazz Fest founding director Frank Malfitano, and next time on Jazz Fest 35, it's the 35th year anniversary. Worst Jazz Fest ever.
The 3 days of Divas with Chaka Khan, Dionne Warwick, and Nancy Wilson. Nothing but rain. Serious weather gods striking out.
Jazz Fest 35 is produced by Kevin Kloss with music direction from Eric Cohen. More of this limited podcast episode is available at waer.org.